This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Thing is fine. Spring practice at Alabama begins this morning. We're going to certainly ask you about that. But the basketball season for the Crimson Tide closed last week with a decisive loss to Villanova. Put a capper on that game first, Travis, and then on the season for the Crimson Tide, please.
Yeah, as far as how the season ended, I guess 17-3 sums it up pretty well. And typically, if you have an opponent knock down 17 from beyond the arc, I'd like to see the historical outcomes of games like that in terms of how many teams actually gave up 17 threes and ended up winning. But Villanova was as good as advertised. It's the best team in the tournament the first two rounds. I don't think anybody would argue with that. 31 threes in all in those first two games for the Wildcats. So ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw out there in Pittsburgh in round two. But, you know, getting a win in the first round against Virginia Tech, going 3-2 in the postseason, certainly a better lasting impression of this team than we had imagined going into the SEC tournament when it had lost five straight to end the regular season. So I'd say peaks and valleys when you look at this season as a whole. There were certainly some reasons for the inconsistencies. Had some injuries, had some guys in and out of the lineup. At the end of the season, end of the regular season, you can't really explain it away with those issues. But ultimately, you're typically remembered for what you do in the postseason. And from that standpoint, Alabama probably landed about where preseason expectations were for it. Maybe not so much in terms of being a 9 seed in the tournament, but going a couple of rounds, going into the second round and getting a win in the opening round. I think that was the baseline expectation most people had for this team.
Yeah, Villanova hits that three right before halftime, and then, wow, the first two, 3 minutes of the second half, it was like, whoa, wow, what happened here? And it had gotten out of hand quickly.
It did. You know, and Alabama's not a team that's going to match from three-point land. We know that. And so going 4 of 16 from three, from its perspective, just wasn't going to be enough for Alabama. And again, you give the credit to Villanova, a team that not only shoots it extremely well from the perimeter, but, you know, outstanding ball movement with Brunson at the point, but everybody else he's got around him. Jay Wright does a tremendous job, obviously, with that team. They've been a little bit up and down in the tournament, but 2016 national champs. And again, a team moving into the second weekend looks like it's going to be pretty tough to knock out of that tournament.
Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com. A quick hitter here, if you will. There was a column earlier this week, maybe on Sunday, from AL.com, saying that, Colin Sexton will be gone. He'll go to the NBA early. And basically, the columnist was saying, good, this will be a better basketball team without him. Quick hitter on that one. Your thoughts, your reaction?
I don't think Alabama will be better next season because Colin Sexton's gone. I do think Alabama can move further into the tournament, maybe have a better overall season because of all the other pieces that are going to be back. You know, just looking at Colin's classmates from that 2017 recruiting cycle, you know, guys like John Petty, Herbert Jones, Galen Smith, who we saw come on down the stretch of the season, another post, and Alex Reese. You know, the ability for those guys to continue to improve, I think, is a big reason why Alabama, in terms of wins and losses, and again, even as far as how far it is able to advance in the postseason, that's what the contributing factors will be, to go along with Dante Hall coming back, or at least you expect, and then Dazon Ingram, and you know, a transfer who sat out this year, and Tevin Mack from the University of Texas, I think, is going to be a big addition to that lineup next year. So it's everything that comes back more so than, you know, Colin moving on. I think if Colin were to somehow be back next year, which isn't going to happen, Alabama would be better next year with him than it was this year. But even without him, I think they do have a chance to be improved, again, because of the continued development of the younger players and also some veteran pieces that'll be back. But, you know, without Colin Sexton, let's be clear, they don't make the NCAA tournament this year.
No doubt.
Any timeline, Travis, of when it will become official that he's going to the NBA?
I would think, you know, here in the near future. I think that Colin, probably as much as anything, right after the game Saturday, is trying to be respectful of the situation, you know, as much as anything, not make it as much about himself in that particular scenario. But I would think here pretty soon.
Travis, as Alabama football opens spring practice, we've issued opinions before. Earlier today, we've issued opinions with you on how we think, maybe not necessarily how the quarterback competition will go, but how Alabama will handle it publicly. For our listeners who anticipate sometime during the spring for a starter to be announced, we both have said, don't hold your breath on that one. What are your thoughts on maybe not the competition itself, but how it'll be handled in the spring at quarterback?
Yeah, I don't think Nick Saban has any motivation whatsoever to make hard and fast statements about a pecking order or any of those things. You know, he's obviously, and we've already heard some preliminary comments from him to Chris Lowe of ESPN.com here a couple of weeks ago that, you know, indicate that this thing is not going to be determined anytime soon. And again, there's no reason for Nick Saban to do that. He wants to maintain the healthy competition for sure that exists between Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. And there's also roster management concerns to take into account here, if we're being perfectly honest about the situation. You want to keep that competition going as long as you can, and it's legitimate. You know, I don't think it's a situation where it's going to be all about just trying to keep both those guys on the roster. It truly is a situation where, you know, they've shown that they can win with either guy. Now, I do think at some point there's going to come a time where the determination has to be made as to who is the guy of the two. But I don't think we're anywhere close to that right now, although – you know, again, it will be interesting in terms of, you know, Saban has made comments about, you know, how they can use different guys in different situations. Do they do some of that in the spring? Do they tip their hand that way a little bit? You know, those are things that we'll find out here in the next couple of weeks.
You know, the quarterback position is going to be something that people discuss throughout the spring and the summer. But what I think might be getting lost in that quarterback race is the secondary. I'm hearing a lot about that, and that could be an interesting area during the spring of what's next in line with that area of the defense.
Yeah, the defense in general, you know, I mean, Tua and Jalen are going to be the top storyline. That's, you know, obvious and has everything to do with the position they play. But in terms of biggest concerns, I don't think there's any doubt that those are pretty much reserved for the defensive side of the ball. You can start in the secondary where you lose your top six guys from the 2017 season. And even in an era of three and outs like we see these days, especially at Alabama, under Saban, that's unprecedented for them to have that much to replace in the secondary. And then you can look up front. Deron Payne, the middle of that defensive line, you got a big hole there that you got to address here in spring practice. The leadership and playmaking ability combination of Sean Deion Hamilton and Rashawn Evans at the inside linebacker spots, although you feel good about Mack Wilson and Dylan Moses there. On the defensive side of the ball, along with, you know, new assistant coaches at every level of that defense, whether it's the secondary, the inside linebacker spots, or the defensive line, it is totally revamped in a lot of ways on that defense.
Well, it's going to be exciting to watch and listen and hear what is coming out of spring practice, what we certainly can find out about that. And Our man Travis Ryer at Bama Online is going to be on top of it. A great way to maybe preview it is to be a subscriber to BamaOnline.com. A great piece from Travis, 5 questions for Alabama's spring practice gets underway, and we certainly recommend you take a look at that. And if you can't, well, there's a way you can. Travis, tell them how they can do that.
Hey, just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way is going to get you to us, and a lot of updates on spring sports, but certainly spring practice sort fixing to sort of dominate the scene there at BamaOnline.com.
Outstanding stuff as always, Travis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I-